Hari ini kita berkumpul bersama di acara di Expo by Danamon 2023.
Jadi di Expo adalah wadah untuk menunjukkan ekosistem produk, layanan, dan channel kami sebagai one-stop financial solution provider.
Nah, sekarang kita lagi di booth-nya Danamon Privilege. Yuk masuk.
Acara di Expo seru banget, benar-benar mau dari nyari motor ada, nyari mobil ada, travel ada, rumah, lifestyle, bahkan sampai makanan pun semuanya ada. Banyak banget promonya, kalian harus datang, jangan sampai ketinggalan promo-promo menariknya.
Aku juga mengucapin selamat ulang tahun buat Danamon yang ke-67. Happy birthday buat Danamon ke-67, sukses selalu ya.
Thank you.
hari ini kita berkumpul bersama di acara di Expo by Danamon 2023.
Jadi di Expo adalah wadah untuk menunjukkan ekosistem produk, layanan, dan channel kami sebagai one-stop financial solution provider.
Nah, sekarang kita lagi di booth-nya Danamon Privilege. Yuk masuk.
Acara di Expo seru banget, benar-benar mau dari nyari motor ada, nyari mobil ada, travel ada, rumah, lifestyle, bahkan sampai makanan pun semuanya ada. Banyak banget promonya, kalian harus datang, jangan sampai ketinggalan promo-promo menariknya.
Aku juga mengucapin selamat ulang tahun buat Danamon yang ke-67. Happy birthday buat Danamon ke-67, sukses selalu ya.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining PT Bank Danamon Indonesia TBK's Investor and Analyst Briefing, Full Year 2023 Financial Results. Before we begin, I would like to emphasize on the following information. We encourage participants to join this event by using laptop and use a headset to optimize the audio quality. Please ensure that you're joining from a closed room and quiet environment with a stable internet connection. During the event, please kindly mute your microphone and close your camera. Please also put your mobile phone in silent mode to avoid echo sound and do not access the MS Teams link simultaneously in more than one device. When we begin the Q&A session, please do not hesitate to raise your questions. You can simply click the raise hand button and I will call your name. Then please open your camera and unmute your microphone. Or alternatively, you can also type your question through the chat box menu and I will read each question for our BOD members to respond. Please inform your name and company and to whom the question is addressed to. Please also note that this event is live streamed and accessible via StockBits YouTube channel and applications. The investor and analyst briefing event will start in a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome our respective investors and analysts. Thank you for joining PT Bank Danamon Indonesia TBK's Investor and Analyst Briefing, Full Year 2023 Financial Results. Today, I will be your host, and please allow me to quickly introduce myself. My name is Yogi Zadian Arif. I am the Corporate Strategy Planning and Investor Relations Head of Danamon. I would like to welcome Danamon's Board of Directors and Board of Management, and also President Director of our subsidiary, Adira Finance, who have joined from their respective locations. Ladies and gentlemen, before we begin the presentations, let us share a quick video summarizing our journey in 2023. Okay, now I see familiar faces from our analysts is already joining us for today. Before we hear the details of PT Bank Danamon Indonesia TBK's financial results for full year 2023, I would like to invite Bapak Daisuke Ejima as our President Director to deliver his remarks highlighting the progress of our key strategies. Pak Ejima, the screen is yours.
Thank you, Yogi. Next page, please. First of all, thank you all investors and analysts for joining this session today. We truly appreciate you spending time for Bank Danamon. Detailed financial numbers will be covered by CFO after me. So I would like to about key development and journey of Bank Danamon in 2023. First is our continuous development in digital banking. On left-hand side, the development journey on our mobile banking applications of D-Bank Pro for individual customers has robust since its launch in 2021. Through our agile execution method, D-Bank Pro launched 22 new features in 2023 only to meet our customers' various financial needs, such as multi-currency account and FX library, wealth management products of mutual fund and bonds, access to consumer loans like credit cards and Adira Auto Loans, Beta Way, and bank assurance, etc. Hence, compared to previous year, we were able to increase its number of users over 100% and transaction volume and value around plus 30%. Similarly, on the right-hand side, we are continuously building our digital solutions to support our business customers. Since the full migration to our new platform of Dynamo Cash Connect DCC, we have been focusing on development of cash management and financial supply chain capabilities. Lastly, our digital development continuously built with connectivity by collaborating with leading digital players in the market. This is to create the value chain ecosystem, and as reflected at the bottom of this page, the transaction growth has been promising and benefiting both our individual and business customers. Next page, please. This page is on how we have been redefining our customers' experience through our next generation branch concept. This new concept is not merely about the look of interior and exterior, but it is to deliver a holistic upscale customer experience, including communities with seamless interactions and use of savvy digital technology and central financial advisory services. We kicked off this initiative with two branches upgraded in late 2022 and widespread to additional 51 branches across 18 cities in 2023. As shown on the top box figures, we saw encouraging results from the initial implementation of five branches. These five branches have been in operation under new concept over 9 to 12 months. Fresh fund increased by 23% and new loan disbursement by plus 11%, which includes loan for SME banking, and new customers acquisition has also shown a good progress, both in privilege and optimal segment. We are glad that our investment in channels, both in digital and branch network, are being positively accepted by our clients. Next page, please. Since being part of MUFG family in 2019, we have been consistently building collaboration with MUFG. And since last year, given the fruitful result of past track record, we replicated similar approach in strengthening our synergy with Adira Finance. Since 2020, our synergy deals and loans have grown over 200%. In last year alone, Adira Finance saw 10% of its sales deferred from Dynamo customers. Such progresses are supported with various collaboration events such as Indonesia International Motor Show, IIMS, which is currently taking place. Our targeted ecosystem approach has been critical for us in expanding our customer reach, and the real estate ecosystem is another good example. We focus this real estate ecosystem through Japanese developers in the country. And in 2023, last year, we paved tangible milestone deals through prominent Japanese developers. All in all, we have partnered with 32 projects, which is about 75% of total Japanese developers projects in Indonesia. With this good traction, we aim to realize the business impact from this ecosystem in years to come. Back on the automotive ecosystem with Adira Finance, as shown on the right-hand side, the progress has been mutual. New mass customers from Adira referral is bringing long-term opportunities for Dynamo. Next page, please. Looking ahead, as we embark the next three-year plan, we will leverage our group capabilities more, not merely a strong banking business. between Danamon and MEFG, but with multi-finance area, which in addition to Adira Finance, now we have Home Credit Indonesia, which leads handphone and durable goods financing supported by strong digital capabilities and offline sales expertise. So I would like to call everybody to put yourself on mute, please. Thank you. And soon, subject to regulatory approval, we will have Mandara Finance as our group member, which will supplement Adira Finance's presence in Indonesia. As shown in the mid and right part of the slide, our local and digital presence is being complemented by MUFG and partner bank coverage globally and in Southeast Asia region particularly. We will strive to leverage these unique capabilities to grow together with our customers so that Danamon and group members can differentiate us from other peers in the market. Next page, please. While we will remain focused in building strong foundation for Bank Danamon, in the next 3 years, our priority shifts to grow as a financial group. We have set next 3 year priorities, which comprise of strategic themes, including 1, building dominance in targeted ecosystems, such as automobile, real estate, education, etc. 2, delivering unique MUFG propositions to our customers. And 3, advancing in data analytics and process improvement. In parallel, we continue to focus on foundation building in banking business, which are IT and digital, people, branding, and branch and ATM networks. We believe our strategic directions will optimize our resources and able to preserve our double-digit growth in lending and funding with sustainable profitability for the next 3 years. We commit to our vision in enabling millions to prosper and making tangible contributions to Indonesian economy. Thank you. And now I give the floor to Pak Mulyono, Danamon Finance Director, who will share the details of Danamon 2023 financial result. Pak Mulyono, please.
Thank you, Pak Ijima, and good afternoon, everyone. Let me share with you the full year result of the 2023. I'll start with the few key highlights. So on the loan, you see that we deliver strong growth in all engines. So our loan and trade finance reached 174.9 trillion, grew by 19% year on year, and our consumer loan grew by 41% year on year, supported by Japanese ecosystem and completion of Stanchart portfolio acquisitions. Adira Finance new financing grew by 31% year on year. On the liquidity and fundings, total third party deposit reached 140.3 trillion, grew by 10% year on year, while funding growth shifted to TD due to high interest rate environments. Our granular funding continue growing and grew by 10% year on year. On the asset quality, our LAR percentage, loan at risk percentage, include COVID restructure still under forbearance, improved by 100 basis points year on year to 11.6%. NPL coverage ratio reached 266% from last year of 261%. And our NPL ratio gross improved by 40 basis points to 2.2%. On the profitability, our NIM improved by 20 basis points year on year to 8.2% despite the higher interest rate environments. Operating income grew by 7% year on year to 18.1 trillion, and our NPAT reached 3.5 trillion, increased by 6% year on year. Next, this is the picture of our assets, our balance sheets. Basically, our total asset conso increased by 12% year on year, mainly due to loan growth, and the growth was quite stable Q on Q. The funding grew by 13% year on year. So this funding, including the borrowing, which mainly coming from Adira. Yeah. And as we discussed earlier, our funding growth shifted to TD due to high risk interest rate environments. Next, on the profit and loss, our operating income grew by 7% year on year, supported by growth in both interest income and non-interest income. OPEX increased by 8% year on year due to the investment commitment in various key areas, such as IT, infra, digital capabilities, marketing, and brandings. COC in amount increased by 12% year on year. However, in percentage, which I will share later, it remained the same at 2.4% despite a significant increase in loan growth. With that, our NPAT increased by 6% year on year and reached 3.5 trillion. Next, this is the e-financial ratio. You see that our NIM year on year improved by 20 basis points, mainly supported by better in loan yield and cost of fund management. And compared to last year, our COC relatively flat at 2.4%. With that, our NIM improved by 20 basis points and our risk adjusted margin better by 20 basis points. NPL console gross at 2.2%, improved by 40 basis points compared to last year, and our coverage ratio at 266%, improved significantly compared to last year. Loan at risk, including COVID, at 50%, and our CAR consolidated remains strong at 27.5%. Next. Next, on the funding and liquidity. So we continue focusing on granular fundings. This can be seen from the funding structure on the bottom right tables. Yeah, where we were able to grow our granular funding by 10% compared to last year. CASA ratio at 52.3%, lower compared to last year due to high interest rate environments. And funding growth shifted to TD. We have a healthy liquidity supported by strong LCR and NSFR. Next, this is the structure of our capital. So the console CAR at 27.5% and standalone at 25.3%. Far above the minimum requirement, with almost 100% represent Tier 1 capital. Next. This is the represent the detailed loan compositions. So if you refer to the left chart, remains stable. The loan composition remains stable. And detailed loan growth by business engine refers to the right tables. As we discussed earlier, that consumer growth supported by Japanese ecosystem and completion of Standard Chartered portfolio acquisitions. Next page. This page represents the detailed loan growth, the detailed loan by sector, which is well diversified across economic sector. And mainly in the form of the working capital. So loan by sector is on the left table, and the right chart represent the loan by purpose, which mainly represent the working capital loans. Next. So this is the Adira Finance. Chart on the left showing Adira was able to grow above industry, both in two-wheelers and four-wheelers. And table on the right, top right, is showing the new financing year by year. So compared to last year, the new financing grew by 31%, supported by all products. With that, Adira loan outstanding grew by 25%. Next. This is showing the stable NIMS trend. And the 6% year-on-year on the non-interest income on the right chart. Next. NPL, as we discussed earlier, that NPL ratio at 2.2%, so improved by 40 basis points compared to last year. Special mention increased by 30 basis points to 8%, or an all-in amount increased about 2.4 trillion year-on-year, mainly coming from Adira. This is due to nature of the business here. Despite the strong loan growth, our NPL amount remains stable compared to last year at around 3.5 trillion. Yeah. And NPL coverage ratio increased from 231% to 266%. Next. This is the last slide on the financial updates. Cost of credit relatively flat at 2.4%, and LAR amount increased by 1.5 trillion from 17.2 trillion last year to 18.7 trillion. However, LAR as a percentage of total loan improved by 100 basis points from 12.6% last year to 11.6%. Further, our COVID restructure under forbearance improved from 2.9 trillion last year to 1.7 at the end of the 2023. So with that, I finish my financial updates and pass it to the Yogi.
Yes, for sure. Thank you very much, Pak Ejima and Pak Mo, for the presentations. So, ladies and gentlemen, now is the time for us to begin the Q&A session. Just to remind, please raise your hand on the MS Teams menu button. I will call your name. Then please open your camera and unmute your microphone. Please inform your name and company and to whom the question is addressed to. Or alternatively, you can also write down your questions on the chat menu. Similarly, please also inform your name and company and to whom the question is addressed to. I'm sure some of you now already hear our presentations, are preparing the questions. While waiting for the incoming of the questions, let's have a look at our aspiration video, Grow With Us, and our current event, IIMS 2024.
Pagi Danang,
pagi.
Membantu menggapai semua harapan, menjadi teman dan sahabat terpercaya. Saatnya
pegang janji.
Pagi tiap bulan.
Oh,
mari tumbuh bersama Danamon. Saatnya pegang kendali.
Okay, thank you. So on the last video, our IIMS 2424 has just opened last Thursday. I'm sure some of our investors and analysts already experienced the event directly. Thank you very much for your support, and we will be very glad to welcome you at the event until at the end of this week. Now, I see some questions already coming in. So let me just read the first two. Which is about Adira. So I'm sure Pak Made are more than happy to cover this one. So let me read it. So this is from Irvan. Thank you, Irvan, from Pangolin Investment for the questions, as well as from Owen from CGS CIMB Securities. First one is, what caused the gross NPL for Adira to increase, and what's the expectation for full year 24? I believe this is referring to the target on guidance for the loan growth. Pak Made, you don't mind to cover these two questions?
Yeah, thank you, Yogi. So what happened is, in starting 2023, there will be normalization on underwriting. So having said that, our level of NPL is still below pre-COVID level. So I think it's... after COVID, there is a lot of restructuring. We deal with that and then tightening the underwriting. And after that, following the recovery of the auto, we are normalized the underwriting standard. So we are having some increase, normalized level of NPL. With regard to the growth target, we expect this year we will grow around 12 to 14% in terms of new financing.
Okay, thank you, Pak Made. So while you're on screen, there's a follow-up questions from Finsel. Also, thank you, Finsel, from Pagolin Investment. Follow-up question is about, what is the plan with Home Credit and Mandala and Adira? Any plan for cross-selling, and what's the growth target in the non-automotive segment in the mid to long term, Pak Made?
Yeah, thank you for the question. I think the first one is, as part of the group, one of the strength of the group that we want to do in going forward is basically collaboration among the member of the MUG group, including Home Credit and Mandala. So yes, we will collaborate to basically cross-sell, referral, lot of business synergy that we want to extract from collaboration within the group. The second question, Yogi, what is? Can you say the second question?
Sure. The second question is, what is the plan for cross-selling, and what's the growth target in non-automotive segment in the mid to long term part?
Yeah, I think non-auto right now is represent around 20% of the product portfolio of Adira Finance, primarily in the form of multi-purpose loan. We want to continue to increase the share of the multi-purpose loan to around 25 to 30%.
Okay, thank you. Very clear, Pak Made. And I believe this growth is also supported with collaboration, potential collaboration going forward with Home Credit and Mandala, I believe, yeah?
Yes, sure.
Thank you, Pak Made. Moving on, there is also a question. Thank you, Darren, from BNI Securities. Several questions here. Let me just read through one by one. And I believe for these questions, Pak Mul will be covering to respond. So the first one is, what is the stable COC level, long-term, short-term, for Danamon? as well as what is the level of LAR and NPL coverage are we looking at the long run?
Sorry, Yogi, I think I should probably
yes,
be answering
that. Yes, this is for Pak Dadi.
Yeah.
So, Pak Dadi, I think there are several questions here, including also the write-off for fourth quarter in 23, as well as the last one later on with Pak Mul on the cost of fund outlook for first half 24 and second half for 24. So, Pak Dadi, I think you can cover for the first three questions, if you don't mind.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I think on the first question regarding COC, if we look at the last 15 years, right, you know, on during normal years, and what I mean with normal years are, you know, most of the years during the last 15 years, except for like, let's say, you know, 2020, 2021, which were, you know, affected significantly by the pandemic, right? But Danamon's normal COC would range anywhere between 2.5 to 3%, you know, actually 2.6 to 3%. So last year we were at 2.4%, which was, you know, definitely below the normal range, right? And I think in the shorter term, right, you know, our COC would be closer to the lower end of the range. So it would be closer to 2.5%, you know, rather than the 3% level, you know. Then the next question is on the NPL, right? I think there's a question on NPL.
Yeah, it's about LAR and
LAR. Okay. Yeah. So on NPL, term, yeah. I think probably the you know, a lot of focus, you know, tend to be given on NPL. So what I can say is that, you know, again, you know, NPL wise, you know, Danamon has normally ranged anywhere between 2.7 to 3%, you know, in normal years. And I would say, you know, in the shorter term, you know, we are actually now returning, right, to our normal trend, you know, post pandemic, along with our expansion of risk appetite, etc. So, you know, and what you've seen, you know, with the increase of ENR, etc. So we are moving back, you know, to the normal years, but I strongly believe that we will be closer to the again, the lower end of the range. So, you know, our NPL would be anywhere between 2.6 to 2.8%, I would say, in the you know, in the shorter term. In terms of LAR, we have in a way reached you know, the bottom range of the of our LAR, right? You know, which is at 12%. And again, I believe we will be hovering at 12 to 13%, you know, in the near term. You know. The next question is on the write-off in the fourth quarter. I don't think I have the data at the moment, but I, you know, I can return again, right, Yogi? You know, give me a few minutes, you know, and I'll return again, you know, for the numbers of write-off in the fourth quarter. Yep.
Sure. Thank you, Pak Dadi. So while waiting for that, Pak Mul, can you cover on the next question?
Yes,
I'll do that.
On the cost of fund, basically, if you're talking cost of fund, we're talking about Bank Danamon, yeah, because Adira has their own borrowing is and also bonds. On Bank Danamon, we see that the cost of fund will be around 3.5% for full year. So this is also on the assumption few this based on a few assumptions. First, I think is in line with the projection on Fed rates as well as BI rates. So I think we assume that from the various analysts that BI rate will be lower in the second half, starting from the second half. This is also on the assumption that we are able to control the inflations and also the business environments. Yeah.
Thank you, Pak Mo. So let me cover the next questions on the chat box. Before I move on, there's one raised hand. Just very quickly, thank you, Ramanto from Stockbits. First question is around cost of credit. I think it's already covered earlier from Pak Dadi. The next question is, with the strategic direction of 2024-2026 of double digit growth, any guidance on the loan growth and LDR target for 2024? And what segments will be the drivers? I believe Pak Mul and Pak Ejima can cover this one. You are,
I think I can cover
you,
the loan growth.
Yes. Sure.
I think the loan growth, we are talking about the, of course, we will follow the guidance from the OJK and central banks. So basically, we are looking at the higher single digits or lower double digits. We're talking about ranging between 9 to probably 10% loan growth. It also depends to the business environment in the country, of course. On the second question, basically on the LDR, we are trying to maximize the fundings and make sure that those are really support our business. In terms of the LDR, we are talking about ranging between around 95%, I guess. Yeah. Between 95% to 97%. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Yogi.
I have the data on write-offs if you...
Yeah, sure, Pak Dadi.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So write-offs in the fourth quarter of 2023 was at 8.7 trillion.
Okay. Thank you, Pak Dadi. I believe that answers the questions. Just to supplement very quickly.
Yogi, sorry.
Yes, Pak Ejima, want to supplement on the strategy part? Yes.
With regard to the contribution of Bank Danamon to Indonesian economy, we still want to keep this double-digit growth in loan and a slightly larger percentage increase in double-digit in funding side. Last year, as I explained, we had 19% plus, which is exceptionally good. And this came from all four core segments, not necessarily the large corporate, but SME, consumer funding, and Adira, all four engines grew. Whether we can continue this level of growth, it's probably not sustainable, as we all know. That's why the number will get lower in this year. But still, we would like to shoot for low double digit, close to 10% level in this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Pak Ejima. So let me move on to the people that is raising hands. Rajesh from Dorek Capital. If you don't mind, you can open your camera and raise your question by opening your mic.
Hi, thanks, Yogi. I'm unable to open my camera right now. I'm outside the office, but happy to. Congratulations, first of all, on very strong operating performance. We've been investors in Danamon since 2006 for a long time, and then we became investors again about 15 months ago. So we believe in the long-term strategy and growth of Danamon, but there are a few questions that I would like to clarify. Regarding the answer to an earlier question on the stable NPL level, I wanted to clarify. If you look at the history of Danamon, there was a lot of high-risk segments that were a big portion of our asset book. You know, we had microfinance loans, and we had a lot of SME and medium corporate exposure. But ever since MUFG takeover, our loan mix has changed. It's become much more lower risk. We have a lot more exposure to mortgage. We have exposure to larger corporates. And even within consumer, outside of mortgage, it's a lower risk mix. Adira, let's assume that Adira's mix is similar. Even I believe Adidas, some loans are riskier, some loans are less risky, but average is roughly the same. But for Danamon, definitely the loan mix is lower in terms of risk. That being the case, why would our NPL in the medium term not be much lower than history rather than being towards the low end of history? If you could please explain that. And secondly, the question was regarding what is the target level for NPL and LAR coverage? If earlier a lot of our mix was, say, towards microfinance, then if a loan is at risk, then there is a recovery of that loan is going to be very low. So it makes a lot of sense to have high LAR coverage. But if we have a mortgage loan, then the recovery is going to be much higher. Even if it's NPL, you're going to recover maybe 60%, you know. So therefore, the loan at risk coverage need not be as high as history. So if you could comment on both these issues.
Sure. Thank you, Rajesh. Yes, Padadi, if you don't mind, I think a couple of questions.
Certainly. Quality. Actually, if we look at the, again, the NPL ratio historically in the last 15 years, it was actually, you know, normal years here I'm talking about, it was, you know, very much close to 3%, actually. You know, I was actually saying, you know, 2.7 to 2.9%. But, you know, I strongly believe that in most years, you know, it was closer to 3%. And at sometimes, you know, it's it goes, you know, a bit beyond 3%, right? You know, so you know, what we are aiming and what we are, you know, projecting, you know, basically in the near term. Yeah, I do acknowledge that there is some shifting mix, right, within Danamon itself. And that is actually the reason why we believe that we should be able to reach NPL ratio of anywhere between 2.6 to 2.8%. That will be our new normal, I would say, you know, in the as long as our portfolio mix remains the way it is at the moment. We need to remember also that, you know, despite the, I think, or probably the only difference, right, that we probably see in the portfolio mix going forward is the absence of the microfinancing. Microfinancing, you know, was what Danamon had in the past, right? You know, you mentioned, Rajesh, you know, about the higher risk segment that we had. So microfinancing was basically the only difference. But then, you know, the other segments, you know, going forward, it should basically very much the same with whatever we had. So, you know, we will be growing our SME again and commercial banking. Mortgage, yes, you know, we are growing mortgage. But actually, if we looked at the, for example, a lot of the analytical data on mortgage, actually, at the level of segments, you know, in mortgage that we are exposed to, the NPL ratio, you know, generally among banks, you know, are actually run up, you know, above 2.5%. Although you're right, you know, that on the COC itself, you know, the COC is generally lower, and recovery, you're correct, the recovery can be higher. But you have to keep in mind that the turnover, the recovery time, you know, is actually much longer in mortgage, you know, than in segments like Adira, for example. So in terms of, and this relates to what I will try to explain on the NPL coverage, you know, which we strongly believe that we will prefer to be, you know, to have an NPL coverage of above 200%. You know, this is also part of our strategy to be more prudent rather than, you know, since you've been covering us, you know, for more than 15 years, right? You know, for 18 years by now, So you're referring to our usual NPL coverage in the past of about 120% only, but we strongly believe at the moment actually with the bigger exposures in the commercial banking sector, in commercial banking segment, we believe that we should have coverage above 200%. Actually, that will be a more prudent approach. So that's my take on your question.
Thanks for your detailed and patient explanation. I'm all for conservative banking and for conservative guidance. I think that's perfect. That's what bankers are expected to be. It's much better to be conservative than regret later. But I just wanted to make one observation that it is not just about being conservative, because there is a real cost to how we think about these segments. Because if we assume, for instance, that our NPL in mortgage is going to be 2.5%, let's assume that's what we really believe, then it becomes very difficult to grow that segment, because you will be then either targeting very high risk mortgages, because that's where you can get the yield, or if you believe, or in better quality mortgages, if you still assume it's 2.5% NPL, you won't be doing that business. So if we want to grow our book, and we have to also have realistic estimates of the NPLs and risk, and target the business accordingly. Otherwise, we will not be able to grow. And this is, or we end up growing in the wrong segment. I know you cannot answer this question right now, but I would strongly suggest we look at this on a segment by segment basis, and even within the segment, look at it in a much more granular manner. Because if you look at the mortgage NPL for BCA, it's very different from, say, from the government bank, which does mortgages, because they're targeting very different segments. The government bank has 5% NPL in mortgage. BCA has 1% or less. So average is 2.5. That doesn't mean mortgage is 2.5. So I know you know this, but I just want to be clear as an investor and shareholder in the business that we are not giving up profitable, good growth because we are too conservative about the NPL assumption, because that can hurt us. And that brings me to the second issue that I want to talk about. I truly believe you've done a lot of good things over the last 3 years in terms of improving your funding, improving on the asset side, on the system side. But end of the day, we are still setting our targets too low. Because you're setting your target for, say, low double-digit growth in loans for next year, and but if you look at the nominal GDP growth in Indonesia, that's likely to be low double digit, or somewhere there. We don't know exactly where it'll be, but say roughly in that range. So essentially, to grow at nominal GDP is the minimum that we should do. But if we are gaining market share in terms of doing good things for our customers, and if we're serving the Indonesian economy and we're doing better than our competition in serving the Indonesian economy, we should be targeting to grow at least at 1.5 times nominal GDP. And therefore, if we're growing 19% like we did this year from a relatively low base, that's not abnormal, for us to do that or sustain it for a period of time. Ultimately, it's about saying, are we getting enough good quality customers to grow, rather than any particular number, 12% or 19%. That would be my hope, that Danamon can actually grow more than 15% on a consistent basis, assuming a nominal GDP growth of 10% in Indonesia. And also on the ROE, our ROE is 7-8%. That's just too low. Ultimately, an ROA of less than 2% and ROE of 8% is unacceptable to an investor. And we hope that those numbers, ROA move up over 3%, the ROE move up over 15%, are targets that you have. Could you please explain in your strategic vision, how does this fit in with our thinking?
Noted. Sure. Thank you, Pa Rajesh, for the big expectations. Yeah, I think the points are well taken. Yes, first few years, we focused more on the size than profit or profitabilities, as you said. There's also an approach that we are also aware of that other banks are taking more on a portfolio basis to strengthen some customer segment and but weakening the other segment, etc. We are also having the same concept next 3 years. I didn't elaborate more in my presentation, but that's what we would like to target in ecosystems. At our size, we are not able to cover everything. So we want to battle in the field that we have higher possibilities to win. Those are what we call ecosystems. Automobile, we have been working very hard along with Adira, and these are more or less getting a prominent position in this ecosystem. We are also targeting real estate. And as I mentioned, we want to expand it to education or Umro and Hajj in travel, etc. So those areas we want to grow. Whether we can continue the high double-digit percentage as you are indicating, we want to, but for us, more keeping the more sustainable profitability is equally or getting more imminent and important at this juncture. So we also would like to consider in balance in terms of portfolio, where to grow and where to get more profitabilities, et cetera. At the end, we are a private company, listed companies, and we would like to meet the investors, analysts, the profitability expectation. That's for sure our first priority. At the same time, considering the presence in Indonesia, of Danamon in the market, we also want to support the community. We also want to support the growth of these countries. So where we can balance, you know, these two slightly different angles, that's constantly we have been discussing. And your points are well taken. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pak Ejima. So Rajesh, I'm sure, I think we have met last year. I believe you will have a plan to visit Jakarta this year. We'll have a next meeting, I believe, and we'll get to have that. If you don't mind, cautious of time, there is an additional question from Mandiri Securities team. I believe, Kresna, you were raising your hand earlier. Do you want to open your camera or shall I just read your questions?
Thanks, Mayogi. I think we'd be happy if we can address the questions on the chat line. I really appreciate the opportunity if you can discuss the questions there. Thank you very much, Mayogi.
Sure, Kresna. So let me read from your team first, from Bobby. So the first question is, could you share about Japanese company stance on Indonesia? Any increase in commitment, investment, demand, or loans in particular sector? How do they think of us during the election year right now and next 3 to 5 years? Pak Ejima or Pak Nao, do you want to cover this one?
Okay. Let me answer. Ejima-san may want to add his color later on. Okay, the Japanese, the company stance on Indonesia, I think remain optimistic or confident, especially on the long-term basis. So what we do see the, you know, stable demand for long is in the three industries, real estate, food and beverage, and healthcare. Those three segments, we see some stable loan demand from the Japanese, you know, the company. The, on top of that, they are looking for local partners to support their, you know, expansion, the business expansion in Indonesia. We are working on the, you know, lending to them as well as the you know, finding the local partner in Indonesia to support their business expansion here in Indonesia. So the last part of the question, I think the momentum will remain, you know, unchanged. We really hope the, you know, the Japanese companies, the commitment, or investment or demand for loan in the Indonesia will continue for the next 3 to 5 years. That's all. Maybe Ejima-san, you may want to add your color.
Thank you, Naoki. I agree with your point. From Japanese investors or company standpoint, looking at current geopolitics in the globe, Chinese business are getting tougher and tougher, particularly capturing trade business between China and US, etc. So naturally, their directions or attentions are more coming to Southeast Asia and India. That's macro sentiment. Also, looking at the potentials or depth in the market among all countries, possible countries, this Indonesia has the largest potential, needless to say. So I expect more attention to come from Japan going forward. The challenge is whether political stability as well as the fiscal stability of Indonesian government will continue or not. We hope that will continue, but that can be some, you know, caveat for Japanese corporate, whether they increase the investment more in this country or not. But overall, as Naoki was explaining, generally I'm hearing the positive sentiment even after the election. Thank you.
Thank you, Pak Naoki, Pak Ejima. Last couple of questions. I believe this is directed to Pak Mo. So the first one is about asset yield, which essentially increased quite meaningfully in 2023. Question is, should we expect the trend to continue in 2024? And what will be the driver? Also, I think how much is the typical loan yield in each of our business pillars, Pak Mo?
Okay, thank you for the question, Yogi. So if you look at the Danamon profiles, look at our four major engine, basically it's coming from the EB business, Adira Finance, then SME and consumer. So we were able to improve our yield, not only because of the growth, strong growth in Adira, and as well and in EB, yeah. And other than that, we also improve our yield in the treasury asset, which is like government bonds, yeah. Going forward, I think it will depend to the whether we are able to grow in the asset that we would like to, which is like, for example, like Adira, EB, as well as in various assets that we have, like treasury assets, yeah. Like mortgage, I think, as you may aware, that for the first few years, due to the nature of the business, we have fixed rates. But over time, when we come floating, is will benefiting us. But yeah, it takes times before it become a floating. Then I hope I address the questions. Yogi?
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Maybe I can just add
yes,
a little
please.
Bit about yield. From time to time and becoming quite often, we also link the loan yield with the ancillary business that clients are giving us. So at the current market, sometimes loan yield is getting more competitive, but we also look at the total profitability return. And we look at the, for example, you know, the forex volume and so on and so forth. So that is basically the overall return for us in addition to the yield itself. Thanks.
Thank you, Pak Mul and Pak Thomas. Bobby, later on the data on each segment, we'll retain touch on that data. Last questions for Pak Mul. I think this is about CASA dynamics in 23. I think the comment is on year-on-year basis, CASA declined 10%, but on Q&Q, it's gained 9%. And then the question is, what drove the fluctuations in 23? How much can Danamon's existing digital banking innovation push for CASA-based improvement in 2024? Pak Mo, maybe Yogi, later on can be questions. Supplemented by Pak Hafid as well and Pak Hongo on the digital side. Thank you.
Maybe I can start first. Thank you for the questions. Yes, I think in terms of CASA, we know that for some banks, willing to pay high cost CASA. So what we have in our strategy, basically, we focus on the growing the sustainable CASA instead of competing the high cost CASA. If you have heard the comment from the explanation from Pak Ejima that we have invest in many things since MUFG become the main shareholder of Bank Danamon. Yeah, we invest in the IT infrastructure, digital capabilities, people and brandings. On the digital capabilities, we improve our channels, yeah, digital channels, which is like DBank Pro as well as Danamon Cash Connects. Yeah. In addition to that, we also improve our physical appearance of the branch through the bank's transformations. With that, we hope that we can engage more with the customer. We hope that customers are able to transact using our platform. We have seen that the good traction, good early traction, both in the digital transaction as well as in the brandings, yeah, in the transaction through branding. So we also involved in the many events to promote the business expansion and customer acquisitions, which is like currently we have the IIMS 2023 in automotive, which also actively sponsoring Dexpo, Bright Story. Yeah. And we hope that for the rest of the year, we will continue our engagement with the customer. Despite that, our CASA lower compared to last year, but our granular fundings, which is consists of CASA and TD regular, increased by 10%. Now you're asking about what happened in the last quarter. In the last quarter of the year, basically what we try to, because the intense competition in the market on the fundings, we also try to test our relationships. Then what happened, we try to test whether the customer really has relationship with us. Then by increasing our pricing a bit, then test that we got the volume. So through that, we believe that relationship with customer is always there. And the reason we don't do it like other bank, we don't want to compete in a high cost CASA. Thank you, Yogi. I hope I addressed the question.
Thank you, Pamo. Well answered. I think that's the last question we have for today. Ladies and gentlemen, the respective investors and analysts, once again, thank you for taking part in the PT Bank Danamon Indonesia TBK's financial result for full year 2023. For any further interest and questions, which I believe you already have, and we will continue having one-on-one meetings, and also, please do not hesitate to reach us through our investor relations mailbox at investor.relations@danamon.co.id. See you in the next Danamon's corporate event. Thank you and have a good day. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.